Hey folks, Captain Kevin Favor, and welcome to the Outdoor Show podcast brought to you by Ag South. They are specialists in land financing in Southeast Georgia. They make loans for small and large acreage, hunting property, timberland. They even do home mortgages and construction. Look, if you've listened to our show long enough, you know Jeff and I own property in Georgia. We both used Ag South for our financing, and they were great, and we couldn't be happier. Here's a cool part about Ag South. They have competitive rates, and they pay an average of 25% of the interest back every year in patronage. So let's just say your loan's for $300,000 at 6.5% at 20 years. That means you get back $2,770 a year. They write you a check for that. You call them at 844-AG-SOUTH or go to agsouthfc.com. Ag South, really good people who really know land.
Welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL. Here's Captain Kevin Favor and Captain Scott Shank.
Good evening and welcome to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. I'm Captain Kevin Favor sitting in with...
Hello there,
Captain
buddy.
Scott Shank. What's up, buddy?
God, it was hot today.
It wasn't. You keep saying that.
It was hot.
Dude, just go back to August, okay?
I know. That was hot.
That was brutally hot, all right? You know,
wow.
where at the end of the day, you're done, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, today was, it wasn't that bad.
Boy, the water warmed back up real quick.
It
see
did.
That?
I did see that. Yep. I had 80 degrees today.
Mm-hmm. I did too, 79.7.
Yep, at 80 degrees today, so...
Water's nasty, except on the incoming tide. Then it cleaned up a little bit.
It cleans up quite nice.
Did you see that now, on the incoming tide?
On, you know, around the inlets. But, man, I tell you what, Scott, you know, fishing yesterday and today, you kind of ran downriver mm-hmm. yesterday and today, and I got, you know, 2, 3, 4 miles from the inlet, and I went, uh-oh. I mean, I haven't seen it like that in a long time. It's tannic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's orange.
Maybe 3 inches of viz?
Yeah, maybe 3 inches. I mean, it looks like something you would see in the St. John's River. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, our fish just they don't like it.
Nope.
You know, they've got to get used to it, and they will get used to it. But
agreed.
You know, whenever it first happens, and all that runoff comes off the, you know, just think about the oil and the gas mm-hmm. and everything that's on a road. Mm-hmm. It's draining into, you know, the intercoastal, and then you've got tannic water, you know, tons and tons and tons.
Especially in September, dude, oak leaves are falling.
Yeah,
so you got all the leaves and stuff
yeah.
now that are mulching.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of things going on that affect mm-hmm. that intercoastal. So,
I wish I had the salinity gauge of Leon, because I'd love to check it down here. I need to go buy one.
Yeah, because I mean, I know what's now. With that being said, fishing wasn't. I mean, I struggled yesterday. First off, nobody had any live bait,
and that's very important right now, folks. If you don't have any live bait, you're
yeah.
not going to catch anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's
that's just me. That's
well,
my
you know, I know there's a lot of guys that throw artificials and stuff, and I get that, and they're good at it, and they catch fish with it. The problem is with us. With clients, a lot of times, you know, trying to teach somebody how to throw a plastic and
it is because there's a cadence. There truly is.
Yeah, of course there is.
You
there's,
know,
there's a
on
feel
how
to it.
Run it. You yeah. know, and I get it. Yeah. So.
So anyway, but today had live shrimp, mm-hmm. and everybody pretty much had a pretty good day. I mean, it wasn't a barn burner by
nope.
no means.
Nope.
But at least you were.
Fingermullet showed back up. They're a little bit large, though. You could tell that these
yeah,
ones came
that,
down from
that,
Georgia.
That stinks.
You know, this is not our second wave of our local finger mullet that are the
right.
little knuckle busters or whatever.
Yes.
Chip
yeah.
calls
yeah.
them.
Yeah. I'll,
knuckle
I'll.
Mullet. And so, I mean, they were a little large. I mean.
Yeah. No, they are.
Snook ate it today. He didn't care. But,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that, you
right.
know. You know, it's tough when you're trying to. It's only big fish bites if you're
right,
going to fish
right,
finger
right,
mullet right,
right
now.
I had people trying to set the hook.
Yes. Now,
and I'm like,
just,
well, I'm like, you look, hope you, this is a 6-inch mullet, mm-hmm. man. When you feel him thump it, you gotta
pretty much bow to him, kind of, sort of. Just
right.
give him 3 feet of line real quick. And
yep.
then as soon as he walks off with it, then then turn them.
Yep.
But yes, no, we had, I don't know, 4 to 6 inch mullet, I guess, is what we caught today.
Ocean looked pretty today.
Ocean was pretty.
Yeah.
Captain Guy Spears called me.
Uh-huh.
He went offshore today. He had an 8 hour. And he went out. I'm not going to give it all up, but he was out about 18 to 22 miles. And, I mean, he quite disheartening report I got from him. I wasn't ready for it. He had 3 decent lane snappers. He didn't catch that many red snappers, he said. And 2 bar jacks and 2 legal vermilions was all he caught out there in 8 hours.
You really?
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
He said the water is just nasty.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he was all out there, you know.
Yeah. And he went pretty far out.
Yeah, I mean, he fished, you know, outer plane, inner plane, and then worked out to the jets. And, you know, so he was where it needed to happen if it was. But he said the water's real cold out there.
Real cold?
73 degrees.
What?
Well, from all that rain, I guess all this runoff and stuff on all these tides, he said it was 73 degrees on his machine.
That doesn't make any sense. How can it be? How can it be 80 degrees at the inlet?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
In 73. Huh.
I don't know. I asked him, I said, when they came up with the beeliners, were the beeliners real red? And he said, no, not bad. But maybe his machine's off. I don't know. I'm just telling you. He told me it was 73 degrees.
Okay. No, I mean, guy's not going to lie to you. I mean, but. Yeah, that just doesn't make sense that it's 80 degrees at the inlet and 73 offshore because you know as well as I do, it usually gets warmer as you
unless
get further
with all
offshore.
These easterly, northeasterly winds we've been having, it started to, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's true too.
I mean,
yeah, that's
you know, this
that's
is the first day anybody. Well, I shouldn't say that. I listened to the radio yesterday and I heard Captain Jason Hadges on the J-hook coming home, and he said he went 1 for 2 on wahoos. He had a couple tunas. And even listening to him, he said bottom fishing out on the break wasn't all that great.
I saw Jody Lynn going out late today. Late.
Sword fishing.
Huh?
Probably sword fishing if he's going out late.
Well, I mean, late morning.
Oh. Well, yeah. Then it was probably a commercial. I mean, whatever, work, not wanting to get
corporate
there till 10
trip.
O'clock corporate trip.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you for my words.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they just doing something crazy 10 to 2 or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they didn't want nobody to get up.
Yeah, because I had you and I, we started out at the rocks this morning.
We did.
And pretty slow. We all dispersed.
Uh-huh.
And you
rapidly.
You did catch one nice snook. And whenever you said that, I had very good friend of mine on the boat today, and I haven't seen him in years, Mark Hayward, and he said of all the, and he's got his own boat, I mean, you know, everything, I mean, he's done a lot of fishing and does a lot of fishing, because I've never caught a snook. So anyway, we fished around and had about an hour to go, and I said, you know, that real pretty water, high incoming tide, I said, you know what, I said, guys, let's go spend an hour. If you know, we've had a pretty good day, let's go see if we can you know, catch a snook, and went to the, and just, there was nobody out there then,
nope.
And oh my God, it was beautiful. The water was lapping over the top of the rocks, you know, and threw shrimp and live mullet, and Mark hooked one on a live mullet and pulled the hooks on it, but it I guess at that time, that's what I'm trying to say, Jody Lynn was just going out the inlet.
Oh wow, yeah, that was late, that's 10:30, 11 o'clock
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yep, it was 11 o'clock. Yep.
Yeah, because we quit at 12.
Yep. So
I was up north.
I thought that was a weird time for them to be going out.
Weird,
but
4 hour from 10 to 2.
But I was actually a little disappointed because it was really pretty. And
wow.
you caught one on kind of the dirty outgoing tide, and I thought,
and right away, it was the first cast. I mean, he threw it and it bounced off a rock and it landed right in between 2 rocks and it was like,
yep.
And I went, there he is.
Yep, yep, yep. And
so it got me,
I thought if I
could
spend an hour in there with a live mullet or a big live shrimp, you know, maybe I'll catch one. And we did hook one and jumped one off, but I thought I'd have several shots.
I thought we were going to catch a lot more redfishes or black drums or something like that in there today.
Yeah, because were you throwing shrimp at all?
I was throwing shrimp.
Oh,
the other two guys were throwing
mullet. Yeah,
he both of mine had never caught a snook either.
Right.
So he caught his first. Mark caught his first snook today. I had a mark too.
Okay.
And then Jim didn't. I couldn't make it happen. But that's what I told him. If you guys want to, they're here. But if you throw these big mullet, it's either going to be one heck of a redfish.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be a heck of a flounder, or it's going to be a snook. So,
right.
I mean, whatever you want to do. Oh, no, no, we're game. We're fine. We're fine. I said, we'll catch a few fish later to eat. But, I mean, if you want to try to catch a snook, I mean, now's the time and the place if
yep.
you're going to try to catch one. And I threw shrimp, and I caught mangoes is all I caught.
Yeah, and you think
a lot of jacks. Caught a lot of jacks out there today.
I didn't catch a jack today,
really?
Yeah, which was pretty crazy. Wow. And I didn't catch a jack when we went out there at that high tide, you know, throwing floats.
Really?
Yeah, which shocked me. I mean, really. And I didn't catch a mango, which shocked me, you know, because usually you throw those floats up there in those rocks on a high tide.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, yeah. So do you think it's a – and we'll have this conversation with Chip, too, because he actually with Leon, too. Think it's a better presentation to throw that float up there with 3 or 4 feet of leader? Or I mean, I just never think of snook as a jig head fish.
I mean,
but that's how
I'm not being a smarty or nothing about it. I mean, as many as I caught this year, they've all come off of jig heads.
Yeah.
And I have done the same thing. I've thrown poppy corks up there and stuff like that. I mean, I haven't. It just seems as though if you give that right cast, it is. As soon as it hits water, Rod just doubles over, and you see him jump, and you go, there
okay,
he is.
Okay, so, but if you throw the cork up there, you've got a presentation for 5-7 minutes.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And the reason
understand.
The reason that you're throwing it up there, it's a reaction strike.
Yep.
And he's going to eat it before it goes down. Okay, so once it gets to the bottom, you're not going to catch a snook.
No. No, because he's literally backed into the rocks.
Yeah.
He's in those little cracks in between the rocks, okay?
Right.
So he's just staring
so
out looking at it.
So the cork's got to be a better presentation.
It's got to be a better presentation, but I'm just telling you, I'd love for you to do it again in the morning.
Yeah, I will. I did it the other day.
You're more than welcome. Let's switch spots because that right there is where I've caught them all at.
Yeah. Yeah,
where I was this morning.
No, I agree.
I'll switch with
I agree.
You.
And I don't know, one day last week, our weeks run in, my clients were fishing on the bottom, and I said, you know, I'm going to throw this cork up there. Well, every time I threw it up there, the damn thing went down. And all of a sudden, both of them were like,
can we have one?
And we blistered the fish. I mean, the mangroves, the jacks, the trout. I mean, it was awesome.
Did you go to Seawall today?
I did not. I really didn't have a tide for it.
Not till later on in the day.
Yeah,
I wanted to go
to the jetties. You know,
what'd you catch on the north side?
I
saw you.
Yeah, I did. I did. Mangroves, jacks, catfish.
Catfish. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. It was. And it was a little rough. A little rough.
Just surprised that there's not reds and drum coming around that point right
I know.
Now with those mullet.
I know. I agree. I was a little disappointed in that, too.
Hmm.
So, all right, let's take a break here on the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. And when we come back, as usual, we'll have Captain Leon Dane. I know he's had a couple days off this week.
He's on date night tonight, too.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
perfect. We'll
me.
Take up a lot of his time.
Take up a lot of his time.
641-1010. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Captain Kevin Faber, Captain Scott Shank.
Yep.
We're going to talk to our good buddy, Captain Leon Dana, who has taken a couple days off. Good for you.
Well,
but I know that you... Maybe you'd probably rather be on the water than
doing what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, by choice, no guide wants to get off the water when there's a good bite because they lose their finger on the pulse of what the fish are doing. But right now, I am going through one of the most painfulest things on earth, which is closing on a house.
Oh, and I don't wish that on anybody.
All that boxes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is not a fishing related question at all. So, are you gathering up all your buddies' pickup trucks and throwing everything in boxes, or are you just hiring somebody saying, be done with it?
Now, wait a minute. Before you answer it, me and Kevin are thinking about putting our trucks in the shop, so just make sure you answer correctly.
Let me tell you straightforward, man. Look, I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm the firm believer in, yes, I own a truck. No, do not ask me to help you move. Okay?
Exactly. Okay. Yes.
I am a firm believer.
Greatest
now.
Bumper sticker ever.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Or the sticker that says, my boat doesn't run on thanks. Yes. No, I am a firm believer. Chip and I, we got smooth moothers. I think it's called smooth move moothers. And we got everything boxed up. And, they're going to come and they're going to move it all for me. I will not resort to that kind of physical manual labor again. I mean, that's like... it's like owning an anchor on a boat. Yeah, you can own an anchor.
Right.
On a boat
that thing and retrieve never it. Do that again.
Yeah.
Ever.
Nope. Let
ever. Here's how bad that is. All right. I guess it was like a month ago. Right. So we're all at Comanche Cove, and Scott goes up there and looks at his plug, and something ain't right. And the trolling motor ain't coming on, and his clients get on the boat, and he goes, boys, if we don't get this to work, we ain't going fishing.
Right.
I mean, he ain't chunking the anchor.
I ain't chunking anchor, yeah. But it's still in plastic. I ain't guarantee you I ain't taking the plastic out.
Plastic too.
I ain't taking it out.
Only reason I got there is for safety.
That's it, for safety reasons. If not, he's dead honest. And the guys looked at me. I said, look, I'm running down here to my mechanic real quick. If he can't get this thing going, we're coming back and putting it on the trailer. So if you want to start drinking beer, now's a good time to start. Because it might be a quick trip.
Yeah,
Oh, man.
No, not no, but hell no. Nothing goes in the back of the truck.
Nope.
So, okay.
Everyone that's young, at some point in your life, you'll realize, spend the money, hire movers. Oh, and another thing, for you out there that think you're young and strong and can do just about anything, don't even think about trying to move it safe by yourself or three of your buddies, because all you're going to do is hurt yourselves, hurt something, or do damage.
I don't even know how you would move a safe.
It took six of us to get mine in the house.
I hire Noel, Lock and Safe. They've moved safes three times for me, and they're fantastic. They have a proper trailer that literally extends out and goes flat so they can roll the safe onto the trailer safely instead of, up a ramp.
Yeah.
They have flat moving devices that can go underneath the safe, pick it up.
So we can't get the little dolly in there.
No, the dolly thing don't work. I use carts.
Yeah, that don't work.
But we had tile floor, and I was scared to death because the dang thing wasted daggum much.
But
I cut carts. Yeah, I cut.
Come on, Scott. We can do this.
Yeah, I cut plywood.
Get the wheels underneath there.
Yeah, hold on. Pick it back for me. Tilt back a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Can you get it over this door jam? Yeah.
Once you move a safe, you'll realize, those guys did that right. And I didn't break anything, and they'll bolt it down for you when they're done. It's well worth the money. It's just a peace of mind.
Dude, good friend of mine's got a 36 gun safe, and I'm telling you, it's like feet wide. I mean, huge.
Yeah.
Like huge. And I can't remember. I think they had to take all the doors off.
Yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
And, I mean, they had like a big production to get that thing in this house.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, Leon, I want to talk to those guys at the
Noel?
Safe company.
Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic.
Yep. They'd be a great sponsor.
Yes, they would. They're a great group of people over there at Noel's off of Landing.
Yep.
Hey, what we got to do real quick, though? We didn't do it at the beginning of the show. My heart goes out to poor Louisiana.
Oh,
snowballed again.
You guys, and we talked about this 5 weeks ago. It was Laura?
Laura.
Laura went in there?
At a Cat 4.
As a Cat 4 and went into Cameron, Lake Charles. And again, that's where I worked. And, dude, they're getting ready to get it right on top of them again.
Right in a kisser.
Yep. And last time they were spared a little bit because it moved a little east. Which this time it's a little west of where Laura went in at.
Still.
So now the storm surges, they're looking at like 11 feet.
God almighty, man.
That's what the Weather Channel said.
Leon, they hadn't even got the tarps off the roofs.
No. They show pictures of it going, driving through Lake Charles, and there's more blue than there is brown, let's just say. There's blue tarps everywhere.
It's going to be a year before they get those places back to normal. You know, the roofs and whatnot. There's so much damage.
Oh, at least, man. And those are some tough people now. Don't kid yourself. But ain't nobody that tough, man. I mean, you can.
They were having some interviews of with people, and they said you're to the point now of just numbness. You don't know what to do because you've been through one. You figured, oh hell yeah, thank God we made it.
And then a week later,
we're fine. And 4 weeks, 5 weeks now later, here comes another one of almost the same statute
at you. Not only that, Leon, it's and I know that the last one that we had here, Matthew.
Yep.
Right.
Was October 10th.
Yes.
You know, so you kind of, you know, you get into that latter part of September and October.
Where you think you're safe.
Exactly, Leon. Exactly. You're thinking, okay, you know, with water temperatures dropping a little bit.
Uh-huh. And that's why I was happy to see it jump back up 4 or 5 degrees. It was like, oh, God, it's putting us in the zone again.
Yeah. Yep. You know, for early fall, even here, you know, we've had some cooler weather and stuff.
Did.
And because we've been through hurricanes, we know how it feels. But, man, in our lifetime, ain't none of us ever taken a direct hit from even a Cat 3. Mm-mm. Never. Never.
I mean, God, y'all, when you go to bed tonight, say a prayer, because 12 hours from now, I don't know what will be left. We'll see.
You know what? The one thing that bugs me, I know it sounds dorky saying this, but the thing that drives me crazy, it seems like all these damn big hurricanes that hit, they hit at night. I'm like, come on.
No, you're right. You're right.
God, can you imagine just listening to that in the middle of the night?
No, I can't.
Look at what we do around here with when we had a little tropical storm stuff, you know, a month ago or whatever.
Right.
Hell, I was listening to our branches do different things and all that.
Yeah, you're listening to your health talk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, speaking of weather, we got a few minutes here, Leon, and... We've had a lot of water, man. I mean, we've had a lot of rain, and I was talking earlier, you know, running south because we had a low tide early in the morning, so I tried to run south to catch, you know, the last 30 minutes of that going tide, and I pulled up to my first spot, and I just happened to turn around and look at the propulsion from my engine, and I'm like, oh no, that ain't good. I mean, you know, very seldom do you ever see the water like that in St. Augustine where it's just tannic, you know,
and taste it. It doesn't even taste salty if you taste it.
Yeah. And I know you deal with that a lot in Palm Valley because you don't have quite the flush that we do. What do you do to battle that, Leon? I mean, the fish are still there, right?
The fish are still there, and Chip and I are under the opinion that when this water gets so, the salinity drops, they get kind of a sour belly for a little while, but there comes a part where they just are still like, we have to eat regardless. And Chip and I will work the higher tides. Obviously, why work the higher tides? Because there's more water in there, and it's a little bit saltier. And we'll work bait while it's – and this is a phrase that I use a lot. It's not sexy fishing. You know, it's not a lot of casting. We'll go to baits like cut crab, using the fish's sense of smell to locate these baits. Mm-hmm. Because the water in the valley is so bad. It's a blend between Coca-Cola and tea. It's really that bad, folks. So – we will work the grass lines, pitching baits up against the grass or into the grass. We'll work popping corks with shrimp on them or a live mullet. And this is the part where last year I was telling you guys what we do, calling cropping the tail, where we cut the tail, the rear tail, doesn't allow the baits to swim to the surface. They go to the bottom. So we'll work that method also. And we'll also use cut mullet also. When we're fishing for the redfish primarily. That's one of the biggest fish that we primarily fish for in the valley. Not to mention, you know, we'll go for our trout and our flounder and black drum. But redfish are usually pretty plentiful in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because yesterday I did not have live shrimp or live mullet. My wife came up with a great idea of, why don't you go catch some fiddlers on Wednesday evening. I thought, well, at least I'll have some live bait, you know. So I went down to the marsh and got all muddy and nasty and caught me 5 or 6 dozen fiddler crabs.
Did you feel like a kid again, chasing a little sucker around?
It was awesome. It was awesome, you know. I mean, I got pinched probably 8 or 9 times. Them little suckers will bite you too, man.
It hurt.
And they're pissy. You know, they look at you like, okay, go ahead.
Come
you know
get
what?
You
I, yeah.
You want something more?
Can you imagine being that small?
Yeah.
And you're like, come on.
Yeah,
bring
look
it
at
up.
Somebody 6 foot tall. Can you imagine if they were like 3 feet tall?
Oh,
a 6 footer?
Oh,
they'd wear you out.
They'd wear you out.
You but, know, though, after,
twice about
after,
going after, him.
After Saturday, though, I have a new respect for our good friend Doug Wenzel.
Well, anyway, let me finish my story. Is that, you know, I caught bait on Carrie and I went down to the marsh and caught bait on Wednesday evening, and that you know, that's all I had to throw yesterday. It's either that or 8-inch mullet, Leon. I called you.
Right.
Yeah, you could do dead shrimp, and you were right about the mullet. I mean, they're just a little bit too big
for normal everyday fishies.
Right.
They
you know,
that
I mean,
big 2 weeks ago, they've grown that fast.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Leon. Damn it, why didn't we have those 2 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. They are perfect tarpon baits. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Because we were getting hit by those damn nor'easters, that's why.
Yep. So anyway, go ahead.
Anyhow, I'll tell you, I wouldn't have seen it if and believed it. I know they work, but Doug brought some sand fleas on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm telling you, those things are money.
They are money.
They're flat out money.
I mean, I'm literally like thinking about going to Flagler County next week when I got a couple of days. I'm fixing to go dig me a 5 gallon bucket and put them in the water.
I still want to have some shrimp.
I feel you.
You know,
I'm just telling you.
No. I'm saying for like my float rigs
them.
And stuff like that. But a sand flea on a jig head.
You'll murder something with that.
There ain't nothing that won't eat them.
No,
you're right.
Reds. He caught everything. Reds, mangroves.
Black drum, sheep's head.
I mean, anything that's not a game fish will eat them.
Yep.
I mean, meaning a trout or a flounder will probably not eat that.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, wow.
Everything else is fair game.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Yes,
everybody's fishing shrimp and stuff like that. Doug's just
and they go great on a jig head, too.
Whack.
They go great on a jig head.
And next thing you know, just everybody's piling into his little Tupperware bucket. I said, damn.
Get out of my
sand, please.
But anyhow, that's what I was just bringing up. Sand flea is a hell of a bait in short, too.
Yep. There's no doubt.
Yep.
No doubt. Leon, well, thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Last thing I'll say is, I'm ready to get rid of these these big, positive, low tides. I mean, 0.8 and 0.9s, God, we need to get this water going. You know what I'm saying?
And not only that, it'll flush it out better, too.
Yes.
Amen to that.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
This time of year.
All right, buddy. Have a great evening.
All right.
Bye, buddy.
You're listening to the Bo's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast on 1010 XL. Captain Scott Shank. I'm Captain Kevin Faber. When we come back, we will talk to Captain Chip Wingo, and I want to get more into the snook presentation because he does a whole lot more of that kind of fishing.
Plus, he's probably going to wear us out from Saturday morning. I got that phone call.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, because of it was
because
cast out
of the net throwing, yeah.
They'll get over it. We'll be right back.
The Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Again, you can always listen to Captain Kevin and myself every Thursday night from 8 to 9 here on 1010XL, and we talk fishing.
Hey, we got there's a heck of a deal going on at Tire Outlet.
What?
Yeah.
Again?
Yeah, well, it's the same one we had
last week.
Yep. They've got whether it be
Yokomoto,
they've got all kinds of big mud tires.
Right.
For four
33s, 35s.
Yeah, 33, 35s for like $9.95 out the door.
Yep.
Mentioned the forecast show or the outdoor show. That's the only way you can get this special.
Exactly.
And they got 33s and 35s.
Yokomata's, Nitto.
Dude, they've got a list of them. Just call Tire Outlet and tell them you heard it on the outdoor show. If you've got a four-wheel drive, and you need new tires, look, $995 out the door. That's a $1,600 deal, and they just got in like 1,500 tires, so they got to get rid of them. And it's only good through the end of October, so
leveling kits are still $399.
The leveling kits are still $399. It's all good stuff, man. Good stuff. And the other thing that Chip, you on there?
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is that one thing we just because it says tire outlet. They do all mechanical work except for transmissions. So keep that in mind. You know, I mean,
they had a great commercial at the new warehouse and stuff like that. I saw it on TV the other night. And they do everything. Brake changes, oil changes.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yep. Scotty. Good folks.
What?
Scotty, it's Yokohama.
Yokohama.
Okay, whatever.
Yokohama.
And Nitto?
I thought about you the other day when I was out there getting ATV tires. I'm like, it's Yokohama.
Yokohama.
I tell you, that new store is nice. Those guys are awesome. They're awesome, to say the least. I'm jealous. I want to go get new tires right now, and I just got new tires. But I'm going to hang out and wait. So,
I got to get some, and I need a leveling kit.
Then you're going to have to get a ladder.
I'm just
going to
do it.
Yeah, I don't.
Shut up about the ladder.
Hey, you gotta have thick skin on this show. I found that out.
Look,
especially when you're not even available to get to get yourself out of being in trouble.
Well, yeah, he wasn't in trouble. Good. A guy called in and said he was going to start a cast netting school. I mean, I just said I got a client for you. I mean, it was no harm.
Foul.
I mean, it,
looking out for the brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Help you out.
Yeah,
I'm good. I've been doing just fine with all the mowing.
He went to a 4-foot net, not an 8-foot.
No, I'm throwing the high tire. I'm throwing the high tire.
You know, look, again, those people pay us nothing.
Uh-huh.
We pay for retail for all of our high tires, and I will never throw another cast net unless somebody
comes to me. There's no bets, there's nothing going on in my hands.
But it will make you. It's what I'm saying. It makes it so much easier to throw a cast net.
Easy opening net.
Yeah. I mean,
and they're light too.
Yeah,
that's what's nice about them. They're light.
8.5 pounds, I think, is what they weigh on a quarter.
Hey, Chip, because I've never thrown anything but the 8 and 9 footer. Do you? Are you throwing the 6 foot high tighter?
No.
For inshore? Oh, you're throwing the 8. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy me a 6.
No, I'm getting a 6 foot quarter inch mesh.
Yeah.
You usually only have to throw it once. So, you know, that's the reason I like it.
Right. But if I'm in a creek and I want to catch me a couple dozen little mullet in a little hole, I can't throw my 8-footer.
Throw a banana cast like me, you can.
Well, that's a good point. You can go right around the bend of the creek.
Just
I guess.
Make sure it's not S Creek. It's a straightaway.
Leave that oyster bar alone. So, that'd be a good idea.
No, but I want a 6 foot, which that's what they make, a 6 foot quarter inch mesh.
Do they make a quarter inch mesh?
Uh-huh, sure do.
With the 6 foot? Oh, uh-huh. That's
beautiful. That's all they make. They don't go any bigger than that.
Okay. I would even do a 5.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, what's at our inlet tube, Chip? There's some little pilchards in there right now that are about 3 to 4 inches
exactly,
long.
Exactly.
Dude, the way the mangoes are chewing right now, if I had that daggum quarter-inch mesh, mine ripped. I had one last year.
I didn't like your quarter-inch mesh.
It's way too heavy.
Way too heavy.
Way too heavy.
It was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah.
The leads would roll over into the net. It sucked.
Yeah. I didn't like that.
I departed that net by just throwing on an oyster bar because I was tired of that, how heavy that thing was.
You let me borrow it one day, and I'm like, hell, this is heavier than my high tighter.
Yeah, I mean, a 10-foot high tighter is heavier than that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lighter than that.
Yeah,
lighter than that net.
So, Chip, we were having the conversation earlier, a couple conversations. First off, let's go to the dirty water, because I know you've been fishing some really tannic water in the last few days, and you found fish.
Yeah, and you know what's funny, Kevin, is I'm swearing by fish bites, because it's been the key for me. I had 3 little boys on the boat with their dad yesterday, and one of the kids, his casting ability wasn't the best at
first, so I just put fish bites on it because he kept knocking the shrimp off. Well, he kept up with his brothers on the fish he was catching, straight up fish bites.
And the little strips.
Yeah, but I like to, a lot of times I buy the chunks too. The chunks are a big triangle, and
yes,
then I can cut them in a shape I want. Sometimes I'll cut them in a diamond shape or whatever, so they're not just, you know, okay, flat piece out there. They move in the water. They actually have a little action. And I put them on tale hooks and, you know, flounder rigs just because it was easy for them to cast. You know, and it wasn't windy, but it was windy enough to where it made it easy for them to cast.
It was and, 10 to 15. It was
we just
enough.
Started bumping and grinding, and you know, you got to let it sit for a little bit. I tell them, look, mm-hmm, you know, nice thing about those egg sinkers is if you got a little bit of current, it'll roll. You know, they can just keep it tight, so you're covering a little bit of area. But that's that. You're right. I mean, I cut the tails off of the mullet right now to get a little bit more scent out there, and they move slower and they sink down to the bottom. You know, pop the heads off shrimp. You know, that's one of the best things I think I ever do is pop the head off a live shrimp, and it's got a lot more scent immediately.
Well, stop,
you know?
stop. What's the difference, yeah, in doing the same thing to a dead shrimp?
Well,
you would think to me a dead shrimp is more stinkier because he's been dead for a little while.
But, you know, I seem to like that fresh dead, Scott, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Because basically when you throw a live shrimp in the water right now with the salinity levels being a lot lower, he dies pretty fast anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why not get the scent out there? But, we ran all over the place. I mean, I ran from all the way down to the airport and then all the way back halfway up the valley. So, I mean, the true valley in Palm Valley, you know,
yeah,
in the ditch. And we picked at it, but we caught a lot of, you know, small fish, a lot of mangrove snappers, lots
there's
of
still
jacks,
a bunch
lots
of There's still
fish.
A bunch of mangroves around,
well,
man.
They disappeared for
everywhere.
About a week.
They did, but they are...
But
they,
they're back in full force now, a lot of little 8-9 inches
yes,
and stuff like that.
Yes, they are. They wear you out.
Today, and it was like... I went,
yeah. And,
let's
and,
go, guys.
And Chip, yesterday, using fiddler crabs, a mangrove goes like this. Bump! And that's it.
And that was it.
Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, it's like, holy crap. It was, you know, I literally went through 6 or 7 dozen fiddlers yesterday.
How many did you catch?
That's what I was going to say. I probably caught 10 fish all day.
No. How many fiddlers did you catch? Half a bucket? Quarter
oh,
bucket?
Oh, half a bucket.
Really?
Well, two
yeah,
two,
that's
two
what I'm saying. Damn, yeah, that's a lot of fiddlers.
Oh, I had a ton. I figured I had three guys, and I needed at least 7 or 8 dozen, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I was steadily had hooks in my face.
And
here's the funny thing, you know, when I got down to the last dozen, and they were the meanest, nastiest ones. They were the survivors, you know what I mean?
Put your face down there and they could.
Oh, yeah. They were
air.
And they would back up on the side of the bucket now that they had some room. And
sat on
like,
their butt kind of look.
Yeah.
Go, come
yeah,
here, big boy.
Yeah.
Come put that finger down here.
That last dozen was no fun. I'm telling you right now.
So funny, that little claw, and they will nab you too with it.
They will
like,
absolutely
really?
Pinch the fire
and they,
out
and
of
they,
you.
And for some reason, it gets right up underneath your fingernail when it hits you, if you do it right. It's like, that hurt.
So it sounds like you – go ahead.
I was going to say the fun part about sheephead this year is now that I'm so addicted to the fish bites is I'm going to put a fish bite on and then a fiddler. And let him
yep.
bite that fiddler off first, he's going to come right back for the meat. I mean, my buddy's been doing that for years with clam. He'll put a little piece of clam on and then a fiddler on, and they'll chew the fiddler off. You know, with one bite, and they come right back and get the clam, and he nails them every time. I don't hit them until the second bump, Chip. And I'm like, okay, you know, and it works for him. So I'm looking forward
that's
to that.
That's a great.
We caught
idea.
A nice one yesterday.
Yeah, you guys
also
did. That was
saw,
a nice fish.
Saw a real nice triple tail caught in the ditch yesterday too. That was pretty cool to see. So, you know, even with that dirty water, they caught it on a live mullet on the bottom. So.
That fish is lost.
Yeah,
that
I think
fish
there's a lot
is,
of lost fish around here.
Yeah, that fish is absolutely lost. All right, so we got a couple minutes, and so for our second topic that we've talked about is we're catching a few snook, you know,
yep.
at the rocks around docks, and obviously it's not something that we're targeting. but obviously they're there. And so it seems like the majority of them, because that's the way we're fishing, are being caught on a 3/8 ounce jig head, live shrimp, live mullet. The live mullet obviously are catching bigger fish, a lot of small fish being caught on the live shrimp. My question to you is this, because it's like, okay, if when I go down south to catch snook, and I've done it a few times and been very successful, it's light line, not light line, but live lining, you know what I'm saying?
No weight, no nothing,
maybe a split shot, throw it up against the rocks, and bam, you know, you catch some really big snook doing that. So I went a couple weeks ago, 10 days ago, and like I said, all of a sudden, I just while my clients were throwing jig heads, I started throwing a Cajun Thunder up there. Dude, I was hammering the fish, plus jumped a couple snook off. So if you were going to target snook, would you go with the Cajun Thunder? Would you go with no float? Would you go with a light jig head? What would be your ideas of targeting snook?
Well, if I'm going to target them with live bait, generally, okay, depends on what I'm fishing with docks and stuff, I'm generally going to hook a free line, like a mullet, hooked back in the towards the anal fin, mm-hmm, you know, or a small, mm-hmm, a small mullet, flip him up there and just pull back on him, let him swim down into the dock. But those lighter jig heads work really well too, though, covering the distance, you know, covering the water column. I've caught a lot of their jigging, you know, throwing it under a dock and hopping it.
Yep.
So it's kind of hard to say. Once, you know, they're a hard fish to target here unless you're throwing artificial and you know where they're at.
Right.
For me, I usually don't like to fish a lot of bait for them, because if I'm targeting them, you know, I like to throw a fluke, a weightless fluke, or a bomber long A or something like that, or a topwater, mm-hmm, plug. But, actually, you know, if I was fishing the rocks, I'd want a popping torque.
Yeah, okay.
You know, with like a light, I'd like to, you know, use a circle hook with maybe a split shot on it, something light up.
Yeah, I've been using two-aught Kales with a little split shot.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And 25-pound fluoro. So,
dude, I got broke off twice there today. But so, I mean, I threw it up against the rocks. It was, boom!
Yeah.
Pow!
Wow. Are they chafing the leader or just popping it?
Popping it.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's such a fun fish. I mean, they're so much fun when you catch them. You know, my friends that live down south, they freak out on redfish, you know, because they don't catch them like we do, you know, and then we freak out on the snook.
I freak out on snooks.
Yeah, I know. All right, we got to run, brother. Appreciate it. I'll see you this weekend.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Later, buddy.
641-1010, 641-1010. We got one more small segment to go. Wow, this hour has just
flown by.
Yep. We'll be right back with the Bo's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast.
This is the Moe's Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast, brought to you by Ring Power, Fisherman's Dock Seafood Market, and Tire Outlet on 1010XL.
All right, we ran over a little bit there with Captain Chip Wingo, which is always good. So we don't have much time left. Anyway, real quick.
We have time for weather.
Yeah, weather. Tonight, east, 10 knots. Beautiful today, folks. It was absolutely gorgeous.
God, it was gorgeous
today. It was beautiful, man. Friday, east winds 10 to 15, 3 to 4. Saturday, southeast 15, 3 to 5. Sunday, south winds 10 to 15, 3 to 4. So,
it's inside 22. That's questionable.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's how big is your boat? How much
and how
pain do you want to take?
Yeah.
And what
if
are you going to go
or
catch?
If you're old,
right? For sure. For
so
sure.
My boat's 24 and I'm old, and no, I'm not going.
No. It really looked pretty today.
It was pretty.
Because you and I were fishing the inlet.
Uh-huh.
And just looking out there at the shrimp boats and stuff, and I thought, man, I got a tarpon.
I know. I really can't believe you didn't go.
Yeah, I got a tarpon rod on the boat.
I didn't know. I never understood why you didn't.
Well, I never saw him pull up.
No.
You know, I never saw him.
I just thought you would take how you are.
Yeah.
I swore to gosh you were going to turn the corner and just go look.
Go look. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean we were good doing what we were doing.
Okay.
You know, catching some reds and maybe a snook or something like that. But I think that's kind of what we're going to be into this weekend, right?
What we're doing this weekend.
Yep. Yep. Folks, make sure you join myself, Jeff Logan, and Captain Kirk Waltz for the Nimnik Outdoor Show on Saturday morning from 7 to 10. I don't think Captain Kirk is going to be there. As a matter of fact, I know he's not. He is in South Dakota pheasant hunting. But we'll be able to talk to him, and it'll be good stuff. Thanks for joining Captain Scott and I for the Moe Southwest Grill Fishing Forecast. Michael, great job as usual. Y'all have a great weekend.
Right.
Great weekend of fishing. See ya.